All right, now let's praise the Lord for sure. Praise the Lord. You know, we have to have all these things lined up exactly right. Isn't that the way we all live? Everything's lined up exactly right. Nothing ever goes wrong. In fact, I was telling Jamie a while ago about the adjustment we're making at the house. He says, "How's your family?" And I had to tell him the truth, talking with Don about adjustments we're making. As we go through life, and I said this to Mitch too, you know, the world is just naturally changing so fast. And you throw a couple of personal changes in there, man, you can be off balance there for a period of time. And it is so comforting to me, as Don and I talked about, is understanding that God's strength is sufficient. And we have to go there often. That's what we said, Don. Have to go there often in our thoughts. When we face something that seems confusing, that's when we have to say, "Wow, I don't understand this, but Lord, I know you understand it. Explain it to me, please." And many times we do come into a quick understanding, and many times we just have peace to not worry about it, put it aside, and then from nowhere we'll come into an understanding and understand that's what God was doing when we were confused. Taking time on Wednesday for us to do this for the next hour, actually 50 minutes or so, I believe gives us time to glorify the Lord. And while we're doing that, it opens us up for communication from Him, where He can speak to us through other men's words, through situations that will happen during this time that will be beneficial as we move forward. Hines is not here today. I jokingly said, well, maybe it wasn't a joke. Said that we'll have to tell him that the numbers were fewer because he announced he wasn't going to be here. And that'll be good for his ego. So he's got that recorded now. So Chris Roberts is here today. Chris and I were in the line up there, and I said, you know, I missed you being here a few weeks ago. And he said, when was that? He didn't remember being here a few weeks ago. It turns out it's back in January, right after my father-in-law passed away, that Chris was here. Perception on these things changes as we get more years under our belt. There's Eddie. I'm glad you're here, Eddie. I want you to share what I wanted you to share last week, but let's do it after Chris opens the meeting. In fact, getting back to Chris Roberts, he has been a friend a long time, and first come to know Chris through Jimmy Rogers Luncheon, as a matter of fact, Chris, first time I met you. And I'm going to ask Chris to come up and share a couple of minutes and ask God's blessing on the meeting. Let's welcome Chris Roberts.
You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was in my prayer closet. My mother lived to be 94, and she was a faithful follower of Jesus when everybody else thought she was weird and couldn't figure out where all. And I was the youngest of four kids, and I was really struggling as a teenager. And my mother, the only thing she knew was, she always told me I needed to commit my life to Jesus, and she used to always keep saying, "Well, praise the Lord, just thank Jesus," and it just seems so random, you know. And because I had all the angst of a teenager, you know, that teenagers have, you know, and so I was thinking about today. I was thinking, you know, I've lived seven decades now, and if my mother were here, you know, I'd say, "Mom, amen." You know, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you, and I'll bless the Lord at all in all things. For this is the, you know, what is it in Psalm? I'll bless the Lord in all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what it is. And so she was imparting wisdom to me in the way of life, and I had no clue. 70 years plus looking back, she knew exactly what she was talking about. I was here last time. Really, I'm not able to come very often, but Linwood Maddox had passed, and I just felt, you know, he was so significant that I just wanted to come. And yeah, I think he had an open mic, just happened to have an open mic, and I thought I just wanted to honor Linwood. And I'm back again, and maybe you've already talked about it, but I wanted to honor Jimmy Rogers. This is where I met Larry, and Jimmy had a luncheon. Besides being a vice president, a full gospel businessman, insurance agent, faithful follower of Jesus, but he had a luncheon down around North Druid Hills for probably 30 years. And I never went once, and I was a fairly regular attendee. I never went once without somebody being saved. It was remarkable. It was remarkable. Hearing the testimony of a businessman and the way Jimmy conducted it, I won't tell you the denomination I went to. I don't remember. I'm sure some people got saved in the 29 years I was there. I know certainly they were, but to see the fruit that came from a businessman's luncheon, the church would have been amazing if it had bore the same kind of fruit. And so let's pray. That's the end of my deal. But it's good to be here, Father. We're so grateful, Father, that we can acknowledge you as the one who cares for us and directs our steps, and that you tell us to wait on you and to trust you and to rest in you and to guard our hearts with peace. Kind of what Larry was talking about, Lord, when the issues of the day run into us, the suddenlies of life, and Lord, will you tell us, in all things give thanks. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our request known unto you. And you're a faithful Father. And we rest in your goodness and your love, and we commit this lunch to you. We commit the speaker to you, Lord. It's our desire to hear your voice. It's our desire, Lord, that out of this gathering, you would receive fruit, and fruit would come forth. And we believe that, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, several years ago, I guess, I'm not going to say how many, probably 5 or 6 years ago, we went to that conference where Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, Chris was there, Chris and his wife, Denny Brown, his wife, Hines and I. And after the thing was over, we said, well, we need to get together and do what's in this manual, is praying for the sick, believing in healing. And we met over at my real estate office, Virtual Properties, on Friday morning. I don't know how long we met. Met for a long time. Yeah. During that time, Denny had introduced a church called Northlands. He came to one of the meetings on Friday morning. He said, you know, I went over last Sunday to a church off Peachtree Industrial over here that's kind of associated with Bethel. That being Bill Johnson's church out in California. He said, I went over there and they prayed for me. This past weekend, on Friday night and Saturday, we had a conference. They had a conference at Northlands. I've started going over there. And Eddie Mayfield and I were there for that conference. And I had Denny pop in my mind because I invited Eddie to go over. And I thought, man, Denny's going on to be with the Lord now. But one of the impacts that Denny had on my life then is me being over at Northlands. And as it has done many times over at Northlands, I find myself standing face to face with the pastor. And I said, Greg, you know what I was thinking about a while ago? How I come to be at Northlands. And I told him what I just shared with you about our group that met and how Denny had been there. And Grace, praise God, praise God. And as I reflect on the significant moments, defining moments, if you will, it can be something like Denny sharing that, and then Don Cruz coming and sharing his testimony. And he talked about going to Northlands Church, and when he sat down from speaking, I said, Don, I've talked about going to Northlands for years. I am going to Northlands Church. And I was there the next Sunday. You look for confirmation along the way. And as I went in the church, and I said, where's your restroom? They told me. I went to the restroom, and Don Cruz came right out of the door just as I was going in. Hey, you know, praise the Lord, we embraced, and he said, come sit with us. So I sat with him and his wife that first time. That brings me back to a memory. Where, you know, sometimes you have a sensation, and you don't quite get it all at one time. I mentioned last week doing the Opry tour, the Grand Ole Opry, up in Nashville, Tennessee. And as I went to the stage and stood there where they have cut a big circle out of the Ryman Auditorium stage and put it there in the center of that stage, as I stood there, I felt something spiritual. I thought, well, that's just because all these great country singers have stood here and performed. But Eddie went up there a couple of weekends ago. In fact, he missed last week, and I told him afterwards that I told you guys he was out there and up there in Nashville visiting all those honky tonks. And of course, that's not what I said. But anyway, Eddie shared with me something. He went to a Ricky Skaggs concert, and I asked him to do it last week, and he didn't show up. So I didn't give him warning this time. Actually, I did. I told him. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. He was here, but he's late. But this time he's not late. I want Eddie to take just a few minutes and share that about the Ryman Auditorium, because it was significant, and it tied to why I had that special feeling. Welcome, Eddie Mayfield.
It's good to see all you guys. He was talking Northlands Church. I've been going over there on... they had a Wednesday night series during summer with Larry. Larry invited me. It goes like Denny invited him. Larry invited me. Well, they're really excellent teaching, and met the pastor. Had lunch with him over at JR's barbecue over there, and have talked to him again a couple times since. Really has a gift of teaching. When you're around a guy, I mean, he just said, this guy's a teacher. It's amazing. And he also brought up something else to me. I was telling him that I'm not led to leave my existing church to come over there, although I really do like their church. And he had an interesting talk with that. He said, you know, that God is working in all kinds of, I'm not going to preach a sermon, but God's working in all sorts of ways. And, you know, we're not in competition with each other churches. As long as the Lord's moving in a church, God's using one church to do one thing and one body of believers to do another thing. And if people meet in their homes and do another thing, meetings like this, it's all where the Spirit of the Lord is moving. And there are millions of people in heaven right now, right this minute. They're saved through very traditional churches, that were saved through charismatic churches, that were saved through meetings like this. And I think we're not disdainful of that. I did go up to, every year, my wife and I, if you just want something that's fun to do, it's a fun thing to do. Every year at the Ryman Auditorium, they have what they call Bluegrass Nights at the Ryman. It's every Thursday night in the summer. It's the cheapest ticket in Nashville, actually. It's like $35 for a ticket to get in there. And like the Grand Ole Opry, $75, just to give you an idea of the difference in that. It's a good deal. But we go, and Vicki and I have gone, I guess for the last 6 years, we've gone to hear Ricky Skaggs at the Ryman. Ricky does such a great job of giving a testimony during his singing. Usually ends up singing some hymns and so forth. In fact, you know, one of the things he closed this last one with, he came out and just led an a cappella version of Nothing But the Blood. And, you know, I'm looking around in this Ryman Auditorium, packed out into one empty house in there. Everybody is standing up, and everybody's singing at the top of their lungs. And I'm thinking, man, you can't get this done in a church. This is an amazing thing. I mean, everybody, this is a secular concert. And everybody is singing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." That's a great testimony. I don't care who you are when you're there. But he told the story several times of the Ryman. You know, the Ryman Auditorium, it is an interesting event. It is an actual church. It was a church for a number of years. But the story of it is this. Back in the early days of Nashville, Nashville was a very rough river town. The Cumberland River there, you know, is also an access point. It's where Lewis and Clark actually started their journey from. They changed and went to St. Louis, but they were actually originally living out of Nashville for their deal. And it was a rough riverfront town, known for its houses of prostitution, bars and fist fights and all that, and gambling and all that kind of stuff. Just a complete town of vice. And some of the guys that lived there, there's always a few godly people in every crowd. They live there, and they think, well, we've got to do something about this. So they went down to Cartersville, Georgia, and I can't remember this guy's name, and got a pastor out of Cartersville, Georgia, an evangelist down there, to come up to Nashville and preach a series of revivals. And this is just a street preacher. This dude just got on the street, started preaching, you know, and he had a few, you know, had a group of men with him, but, you know, he just started preaching and began to gather crowds, and pretty soon they started getting into a tent, and all of a sudden, a lot of people started getting saved in Nashville, and they started building a bigger tent. Pretty soon, they're taking up a city block with a tent, and he's preaching every day. And apparently, I don't remember this guy's name, but the description of him, he was a short, very fiery guy that really just took no guff, you know, kind of hot-tempered guy, really, and just sold out for the Lord and just began to get that town saved. Well, began to cut into the business there of some of the houses of prostitution, the bars, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And some folks didn't like it. One of the guys that didn't like it was a guy named Ryman that owned a steamboat company there. But he had come up the hard way, a brawling kind of guy, come up, you know, getting ahead with his fist and all that. And he decided, got a bunch of his guys, they were going to go down to this tent revival one night and whip this guy's tail. That was their plan. And so they showed up to do it and went into their tent revival. And they sat in the back there, a bunch of these tough dudes. As soon as it's over, we're going to whip this guy's rear, send him back to Georgia, you know, be done with this guy. Well, somebody told that preacher up there, there were some guys back there going to whip him. And this guy stands up and says, hey, look, I understand some people here want to fight me. I'll meet you behind that tree over there as soon as the service is over, and we'll get it on. You know, so this kind of guy he was. But during that service, an amazing thing happened. The Holy Spirit moved in there, and Ryman got saved. Got saved. Came there to fight the preacher and got saved. Went down front, told the preacher he was the guy who'd come there to whip him, and he had been saved, and he got saved. And he and this pastor and Ryman became fast friends. Ryman was a wealthy man. Most of his wealth was ill gotten, but he was wealthy. And when they began to need a permanent building, Ryman put up the money for the church that was built there, and it was built. And after he died, they called it the Ryman, they called the sanctuary part of it, they called it the Ryman Auditorium, in his honor, the one who was alive. Church named it after he gone. But that's the story of the Ryman, and there's been a gazillion people saved in Ryman. So when you go in that place, and you go sit down for a concert, if you've been there, it's pews, you sit in pews. That's what's there. It's a church. It's not that big of a place. It's a church. And it is an amazing thing, and it just reminds me so often. And you guys are good about this here. You know, I'm very, very active in our church. I'm a chairman of the deacons right now. I'm the token old guy in the church, man. They just moved into electric guitar, which is just ridiculous. But I haven't done that since then. I told the last time I played guitar was in a country band. You sure you want to? He said, yeah. I said, all right. So that's what I'm doing. But the, teach Sunday school, all that. Very active in our church. And I'm very glad to be active in our church. And I love being active in our church. Raising our kids up through there and all that. But God doesn't just operate in a church. God's a lot bigger than that. As we know here, God operates in things like this. God operates through secular concerts in the Ryman Auditorium. When Christian artists like Ricky Skaggs, who draws a sellout crowd, gets up and gives a very unabashed testimony of how Jesus saved him. And it's an amazing, it reminds me of here. Ricky, if you stop thinking this way, he's a Christian businessman. That's what he does. He makes a living selling secular music. That's what he does. But he's sharing his testimony of how God affects his business place. It's an amazing thing. But I just think if you have just to go to the Ryman, do it. I think it's a great story of God just reaching into a place and putting the right people there and just saying, yep, and just moving right there in that city. Anyway, go there if you get a chance.
One of the things that was talked about this past weekend, was values. And one of the speakers had a quote from Roy Disney, Walt Disney's brother. Said, it's not hard to make decisions once you know what your values are. And I think it ties in to what Eddie just explained about the Ryman Auditorium, and when they took part of that stage and transplanted it over to the Opry House, and that feeling I had, we need to be able to understand when we adopt certain values that it affects the rest of our lives. This morning we had an office meeting at Virtual Properties, and Steve Wagner said, you know, this doesn't sound right, I guess, but there was something spiritual happened on a beach in Haiti with my mother. His mother, Karen, is a co-owner with him
of Virtual Properties. He said, but they were out there, and a lady came up and said, can I share this umbrella? There's an empty seat there. And the person that was sitting there said, sure, but my friend's going to be back in a minute. So when the friend came back, it was Karen Wagner, and she sat down there. It turns out that this was a real estate broker that is now working at Virtual Properties. So Steve said in the platform he had of a meeting that's going out to 17 or 18 offices by Zoom, he said, you know, it's spiritual. I'm confident God had something to do that. They might not have been drinking what they should have been drinking. What are you drinking, she said, you know. And I think it was an alcoholic beverage. But anyway, that point was taken very well by me. You think God can work there? Absolutely. He can work on Ryman, who is somebody that thinks he's going to lose his fortune, and he's going to take care of it by whipping that preacher. That what a great story. As we think about, let me read this scripture real quick before I introduce our speaker. In 2 Peter 1, in fact, verse 1 through 3, says, His divine power has given us everything we need for our life and godliness through our knowledge. Our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these things, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So once we determine that those values are what we want exhibited in our lives, those values that God has made us through His power understand that we have the power to change others' lives with our influence. Our influence can be part of what causes them to stop and think and head down a completely different trail than they were going on. Because men's acts are evil. Satan is constantly leading us astray. We as Christians get tempted on so many different things. In fact, Eddie and I were talking yesterday. It's so important that we have those times designated where we spend time in the presence of the Lord in order to be charged up. And here I'm not talking about, I used to be in the automotive business. And somebody would bring a defective battery, they think. We'd test it, and it was run down. It needs charge. But you just can't put a surface charge on it. We want them to leave it there and let us charge it for 12 hours, where it's a deep charge. And that kind of charge will hold. Same thing with what we're talking about from the Lord. We need to put ourselves in places where we can really be charged up, and not just on the surface, not a surface charge, but a deep charge within us that is something we really believe. It's something we know is something we know is special, and that we can recall that thing at the right time. Just as I understood at the right time when Eddie shared that story with me on the Ryman Auditorium. I remember the feeling. You remember the feeling when you turned your life over to the Lord. If there was a time that you made a total commitment, as I did, and recognized the power of the Holy Spirit, that really empowered me to tell others my story in a convincing manner. You don't forget it. Unless you deliberately do not set any time aside to get charged up. In fact, Wayne and I were talking about the importance of having other. In fact, you stood up and shared with the group, I think, the importance of having accountability partners or men that you feel accountable to. I think the problem we will have if we ever become so isolated that we puff ourselves up and think that we can handle it on our own, we're in for a big fall. God didn't design it that way.